Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
The world is filled with many questions, such as, did giants exist?
What is junk DNA? Does it mean that you're trash?
Do you ever wonder if aliens have underwater bases in our oceans, and that's why there are so many UFO sightings off the coasts of islands all over the world?
How serious even is climate change, and when should we start building our rafts?
Hello, everyone. You may recognize me as Gabby from the History of Everything podcast.
And my name is Brenna, and you don't recognize me from anything yet.
Together, we're two scientists who explore the answers to these questions and many, many more in our new podcast,
Mystery of Everything,
available everywhere you get your podcasts.
Southern Gothic is a podcast that explores the history behind some of the American South's darkest days, greatest mysteries, and most chilling ghost stories. In our most recent full-length episode, we discussed Gulfport's infamous Cahill Mansion, and we explored the possibility that one of the causes for the haunting might be that there was a poltergeist there, a, quote, noisy spirit that was throwing stuff around. Well, if you're a fan of shows like The Dead Files or Ghost Hunters, then you probably know that people making claims like the Gregorys did are way more frequent than most people imagine. I mean, y'all, aside from seeing apparitions or experiencing weird synchronicities, things like that, stuff moving on its own is a pretty common claim among the purportedly haunted. And those TV shows, that's one of the main things. Now, of course, we could probably discount a lot of these folks with a little bit of cynical skepticism and just say that those people on the TV shows are looking for their 15 minutes of fame. But as in the case of the Atlanta Bloodhouse that we recently covered, sometimes the residents really don't want the spotlight shined on them, but due to the nature of what's going on in their home, they end up in the center of it anyway. And that's what happened to Mr. Charles and Mrs. Annie Daughtry of Portsmouth, Virginia, back in 1962. At the time, they were both 90 years old and were living in a single-story rental house on Florida Avenue with their 13-year-old great-great-grandson, Cleveland Harmon. And for some reason, unbeknownst to them, all of a sudden, strange phenomenon started to happen there in their home. Harmon said it started on Thursday, September 6th, when he got home from an otherwise normal day at school.
I was coming home from school and some guys were chasing me, probably because I had girls hanging around me all the time. Well, I ran up the stairs on the porch and the screen door was open and I dropped my books on the floor. I could smell Grandma cooking in the back, fresh apple pie. Then the books flew over the top of my head. My grandma said, "What are you doing throwing books all over?" And I said, "I didn't throw them." She thought I was fibbing and sat me in the corner.
But this was just the start. Over the next few days, all sorts of household objects seemed to spring to life and sail through the air without any explanation. From a frying pan and dishes to tomatoes and even a vase that was said to have turned a corner midair. In one instance, a stool jumped from the floor and smashed a light bulb above, and in another, Mrs. Daughtry claimed to have watched her mattress slide off of a bed for no apparent reason, and the carpet levitate. Well, this was a tight-knit neighborhood, and it didn't take much for word to start spreading about what was happening, and so their friends started to come down to the house to see for themselves what was going on, and they were not let down. In fact, Some of them even ran from the house scared. In 2013, the Virginia pilot uploaded an interview of one of these witnesses on their YouTube channel. Helen Davis was a neighbor and friend of the Daughtrys, and she was pretty clear about what she saw 50 years earlier at the house, and she didn't flinch when stating that it was haunted by something, but they didn't know what.
And we witnessed these things coming out of the door, like a child was throwing them in the street. And they would make noise. If it was glass, it would break in the street. And we stood in the hallway and looked in the bedroom, and there we saw the mattress being pulled like someone was just pulling it. He proceeded to tell us that he had not slept in two nights because he couldn't sleep. These things were going on. He had a rocking chair near his bed, and he was about to sit, and the rocking chair began to rock on its own. We saw these figurines they had on the mantle begin to drop off and on the floor, and they would bounce up and down. We never knew what it was.
You can imagine, words started traveling fast outside of the neighborhood, and by Saturday afternoon, a news reporter named Joseph Phillips showed up on Florida Avenue to see for himself. And y'all, whatever was there causing the commotion did not disappoint. Upon entering the home, Phillips and his photographer witnessed a number of unexplainable things, including dishes flying off a buffet and crashing on the floor at their feet, to a vase jumping from a mantelpiece right before their eyes. The newsman was so blown away by what he saw that the first line of his article that he published the following day said simply, "I didn't believe in ghosts until Saturday." By this point, folks from all over had begun gathering down there hoping to see something strange, but after that article ran on the front page with a picture of Mrs. Daughtry holding a broken object, the crowds became practically unmanageable, with some reports claiming as many as 20,000 curiosity seekers had come to see the house over the course of that week. 12 patrolmen were assigned to the property, but as you can imagine, the elderly Mrs. Daughtry was not a fan of what was going on, and from what I can tell from the newspaper accounts, she honestly seemed more upset with all the people outside rather than the seemingly supernatural inside. So she and her husband decided to take Cleveland and go stay at a relative's house until things quieted down. Of course, it didn't take long for psychic researchers to come try and investigate the home, including Dr. J.T. Pratt of the Duke University Institute of Parapsychology and Hugh Lynn Casey, head of the Society for Research and Enlightenment at Virginia Beach. Well, by all accounts, it seems that the Daughtrys did welcome them. After all, they did want an explanation, but in the end, all they really did was confirm what people were already saying. This looked an awful lot like poltergeist activity. But then, on Tuesday, September 11th, the most well-known investigator of all showed up. William Roll, the director of the Psychical Research Foundation in Durham. And yeah, y'all might remember that from last week. That's the same organization that Mrs. Ginny Gregory had asked to come down to Gulfport to investigate the Cahill House, but never made it. Purportedly, Roll was in the house for less than an hour before things started to happen. First, he questioned the family, but then he was almost immediately greeted by the smashing of a china closet door. The noise was apparently so loud that a newspaper reporter and a policeman heard the glass shattering from outside. At the time, Roll claimed that he couldn't give any explanation just yet, but he did spend several days investigating the house and experienced a few more incidents of objects going airborne while he was there. But then, just as fast as the supposed poltergeist came, it was gone. Within a week of the initial incident, everything just stopped. No more flying objects, no more crashing china. The crowd gradually faded away, and on Sunday, September 16th, William Roll held a press conference before newspapermen and TV crews.
In field investigations in general, and in this case in particular, it is difficult to reach any conclusive judgment about the phenomena studied. The only thing that can be said with any assurance is that there is nothing in the house itself to cause the phenomena. The things only happen when the house was occupied. In other words, the case must be sought in living persons. However, it is not safe to go beyond this statement. That is to say, it is not possible to state whether the events were produced in normal ways or by a parapsychological process.
You see, Roll believed that a poltergeist wasn't a spirit, as the name suggests. Rather, that it was something caused by psychokinesis, the ability of someone to be able to move objects with their mind. So he didn't think the house was haunted. Rather, it was someone, a person there with them, who was causing all that drama. But the question was who? Well, in 2019, Cleveland Tony Harmon claimed that it was him. He believed that as a young man, almost 60 years prior, he had somehow made all of that happen by merely thinking it. Although he did say he, quote, doesn't understand how or why. Now y'all, if that really was poltergeist activity down in Portsmouth, it sort of tracks. As we've talked about in other episodes on this sort of thing, most think that poltergeist activity is caused by one of several things. It's either a ghost, a hoax, a mass hallucination, or the psychokinetic activity of an adolescent who experienced some sort of trauma. So yeah, it's a theory that lines up pretty nicely with what happened out in Adams, Tennessee, with the Bell Witch, in Georgia with the Cerency family, or now here in Portsmouth. Because according to Harmon, that's why he lived with his great-great-grandparents in the first place. He'd been abused by his stepfather. After leaving Florida Avenue to escape the crowds, Harmon and his great-great-grandparents never again resided in that home, which was torn down only several decades later. However, unlike many of the stories I've shared over the years, the tale of the Portsmouth poltergeist hasn't really garnered that big of a legacy, which is surprising after all those people came out to be a part of it all those years ago. Then again, maybe that's what Annie Daughtry would have wanted anyway. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder, and you are listening to Southern Gothic. Southern Gothic is an independent podcast produced by siblings Brianne and Brandon Schecksnyder. If you're a fan of the show and would like more content, be sure to join us over on Patreon or become a premium subscriber on the Apple Podcast app. There, you'll receive access to both ad-free and monthly bonus episodes. For more info on Southern Gothic, be sure to visit southerngothicmedia.com today. And as always, thanks for listening.
Lucky Lady Shacks.
What's something you learned in history class that you feel like wasn't the whole truth? Better yet, what's something you didn't learn at all that was omitted completely? That's what I like to call redacted history. My name is Andre White, the host of the Redacted History Podcast, the place where history's forgotten events, heroes, and villains get their story told, one episode at a time. The Redacted History Podcast. Real history never dies. Stream the Redacted History Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name is Matt, host of the Pirate History Podcast. Pirates rank among the most mythologized and romanticized of all historical figures. It can become easy to forget that pirates were real people that had real-world concerns. If you like tales of high seas adventure, derring do, and also want to learn more about who Blackbeard supported to be king, you can learn more about all of that at the Pirate History Podcast.